Let the record show that all members of the Finance Committee are in attendance, except Ann, who's excused. Can we get approval of the minutes, please?
Second.
Got a motion? Any corrections, additions? If not, all those in favor of approving the minutes as published, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Minutes are approved. Do we have anybody for public comment? If not, Steve, you're up with the comprehensive report.
I'll do it from where I'm at here.
Okay, very good.
What I'm going to do is just, like I've done in the past, is just kind of walk you through some of the highlights of this document here. It's your annual financial statement. So, just if you flip open to the page with the first page under Rick's letterhead there, it kind of starts the whole process here. This is your introductory section, and this first item here is the letter of transmittal, from Rick's office. And it just discusses the county's responsibility for the information presented in the report, and then the independent audit opinion on the financial statement. This letter, does give you some general information about the county and discusses different factors affecting the financial condition. If you flip to the last page of this letter under the section headed awards, I'll just point out there that it says there in that paragraph, the county has been awarded the Certificate Achievement for Excellence in Financial Reporting from the GFOA for now 23 consecutive years. And this document here has also been presented to them for that same award. After that, in this section is, the next page is the certificate of, this is the actual copy of the award that you received for last year's financial statements. And then, a list of the officers and a organizational chart. So then if you flip, you get into the next page, you get into what's headed up the financial section. And the first item there is the independent auditor's report. It's on our letterhead there. And just a couple items there, and you'll see that second paragraph, management responsibility for the financial statement. It does say their financial statements, these financial statements are the responsibility of the management here. The next section, the auditor's responsibility, our responsibility as your outside auditors, is to give you an opinion on these financial statements. And it says in there we've conducted our audit in accordance with standards generally accepted in the United States and in accordance with governmental auditing standards. And then over on the next page under the opinion section there, that is our opinion on your financial statements. And I won't read it, but I will tell you, as in the past, it's an unqualified or a clean opinion. Okay? The next item, page 4, is management's discussion and analysis. And here, as stated in the first sentence of that, the MD&A gives a reader, similar to the letter transmittal, a narrative overview and analysis of the financial activities of the county for the year. And you can see in that first page, it does, under several of those bullet points, it does list out some of the financial highlights, of these financial statements. I won't read through this. I'll flip to page 19. Okay, if you remember, there's really two sets of financial statements in this document. One is what's called the government-wide financial statements, and those are statements that are similar to what you might see in the private sector. It records all of the county's fixed assets, infrastructure assets, along with any bond liabilities that you might have. Okay, so on a government-wide basis, if you look in at the second last column there, you'll see on a government-wide basis, total current assets of the county were $145 million. Okay? Mainly your cash and investments. That makes up about 85% of that number. Total non-current assets, down a little in the next category, $129 million. $120 million of that is your capital assets. You know, all your buildings, your infrastructure, those items. And it's those capital assets net of the depreciation that's been taken on that. And then the next section is the liability. And I'll just jump down to the total liabilities, $22 million. Okay? So when you take the assets minus liabilities, you get what's called your net position, you know, or your equity for a better word, you know, lack of a better word. Assets minus liabilities equals that $252 million. Okay, now most of that's made up of your fixed assets. And a lot of that is restricted money, you know, things that have restrictions on from an outside source. Okay, so of that $252 million, you'll see the unrestricted amount is $34 million, the last line of that category. All right? So that's kind of where things stand at the end of November, your fiscal year end. If you flip to the next page, what's called the statement of activities, it's kind of like, you know, the income statement in a normal company financial statement. It's set up a little bit different. I'll just focus on the second last column there also. Okay? And that first section is your what's called your net expense of each governmental activity. What that means is it's the expenses in that category minus any charges for service that you might have or any grants that are applicable to each of those sections. And you'll see it's a negative number. That's your net expense that then is funded by your general revenues, you know, your taxes, and your investment earnings. And you'll see, so we really have the, you know, in total about halfway down the page, total primary government in that column is $53,800,000 of net expense that is being funded by your general revenues. And your general revenues, the next section, is your property taxes, your sales, use, and franchise taxes, income taxes, motor fuel taxes, and investment earnings. Those all total $56 million. So you had an increase in your net position of $2,200,000 on a government-wide basis. Okay? If I'm going through this and you have any questions as I'm going through this, you know, please feel free to stop. Okay, so now I'll flip to page 21 and 22. And these start your fund financial statements. Now this is what you're more used to seeing, you know, throughout the year. Okay? And I'll focus on two columns there. One, the first one is your general fund, okay, and then we'll kind of look at the total. So your general fund, this is, you know, the balance sheet, so where your assets and liabilities stood at the end of your fiscal year. In the general fund, total assets were $26,800,000. You know, $19,600 of that was your cash and investments. Total liabilities were $2 million. And so you ended up with a fund balance in your general fund at the end of the year of $24,778,000. Now that's broken up into different categories, okay? And I'll just tell you the non-spendable category, that's your inventory. Okay, what you had on hand in inventory at the end of the year. Your restricted categories, again, those are that's fund balance that you have that has outside, you know, restrictions from an outside source, like creditors or grants that you receive that are unspent, or state statute. And then the committed and assigned categories, those are, you know, where the management here has either put some commitments on those funds or assigned some fund balances, you know, to a specific person, purpose. And then you're left with the unassigned for normal operations, then and you see that's $22,658,000. And that's where I'll tell you that that represents about 56% of 1 year's worth of normal operating expenses. Okay. I believe your, you know, the county board requires in their bylaws or whatever that we have at least 33%. You know, so you've met that. Over on the total, then in the total column, you know, of the governmental funds, you can see we have total assets. And this includes all of your special revenue funds, your debt service funds, your capital project funds. And so in total there, you can see Madison County had $134,600,000 of assets, $7,300,000 of liabilities, and a fund balance of $127 million. Now, again, of that, you can see most of it is in the non-spendable, restricted, committed categories, and your unassigned fund balance is that same, you know, $22 million. All right. Let's then move to page 24 and 25. This is, you know, the revenues and expenditures in each of those categories. And again, in the general fund, you can see total revenues were $45 million for the year. They actually decreased a little over 1% from the prior year, you know, as a total. Your expenditures were $41,493,000. That was actually an increase of about 0.5% from the prior year. So basically you held them the same as, you know, what you had last year. And so revenues exceeded expenditures by that $3.5 million. And then there were transfers of funds to transfers of monies from the general fund to other funds. Basically that $4,031,000, there was a transfer of $4 million to your capital projects fund. Okay. And so you can see then in total, the general fund had a decrease in their fund balance of $469,000 for the year after that transfer. In total, you know, revenues were, the last column there, $107 million. Again, they, you know, that was basically the same as what it was the prior year, I think an increase of 0.5%. In total, your expenditures were $101 million. Now, that saw about, in total, a 5% increase over last year. But the bulk of that was back in December, you had made a decision to pay off part of that ECHO liability, and that was about a $4.5 million expenditure over and above what you normally would have had. And so that accounts for basically your total increase in your expenditures over the prior year. And so then you can see revenues exceeded expenditures in total by $5.5 million for the year. Okay? Over on page 27, this just starts your budget to actual schedules for each of your major funds, you know, which is your general fund and the transportation funds. I won't go through any of that, but that goes from page 27 through 39. So it, you know, gives you the budget actual for each of those funds. Then on page 32, this is a statement of the net position for your enterprise fund, which is your sewer fund, and then your internal service funds, which is your, you know, your tort judgment liability fund, and then three different health benefit funds. In total, that's what that column represents. And I'll just tell you there, you know, you can see total for the enterprise fund, you can see total current assets of, you know, $3.5 million. Total non-current assets of $19 million. That's your property, plant, and equipment. And then liabilities of $385,000. If you go down a little further, So you have assets minus liabilities in that fund equals your net position of $22,600,000. And that was actually an increase of $198,000, you know, for the prior year. I'll just tell you there, I know you've gone through some, you know, you did a rate study program, you know, a few years back, and we had some rate increases. Just some history on that. If you go back to the year 2000, it's about when we started working with you, I think we had cash and investments, or reserves, I'll call it, for lack of a better, of about $4 million in that fund. That saw a decrease down to a low of about $1 million. And so the last 4 years, we've been building up that reserve again like we wanted to, and you can see where, you know, your cash and investments at the end of November 30th, you know, was $2.8 million. It saw 8 or 9 years of decreases, you know, and then with the rate study increase, you know, or the rate increases, you know, we've got that going in the right direction. On the internal service funds, then, in total, you can see assets were $13,700,000, largely, you know, your cash and investment reserves. Liabilities of $2,396,000, total net position of $11 million. And that for the year, the total of those funds saw a decrease of $1,002,000, okay, in your net position. And that was caused largely by your claims for the year. Your claims for the year were about $1,004,000 higher than what they were last year. So that, you know, accounted for that decrease in that net position. After that, starting on page 36, is what's called the notes to the financial statements. And I won't go through any of these. I'll just tell you, you can read through those. It gives you, you know, some descriptions, some breakdowns of some of the numbers that are reported in these financial statements that we just went through. So if you wanted to drill down further, you could read through all of those. Those go on from page 36 to 67. After that, then you can get into some supplementary and combining schedules. So you'll see schedules of all of your special revenue funds that combine into those statements that we just went through. That goes from page 68 to 131. And then after that is what's called the statistical information section, which, you know, it gives, you know, ten-year statistics, you know, for the county. And that goes from 132 to 156. So that's kind of, you know, very briefly going through this document. I will tell you, I don't know if you didn't pass out the single audit.
I didn't.
Okay, I'll just tell you, as part of this audit process, there's what's called also a single audit done, which means we're doing an audit of your schedule of expenditures of federal awards. You know, the county had $16.7 million, you know, federal awards that were expended during the year. And there's two different, you know, reports that are issued on that. There's a report on compliance and internal controls over these federal programs and the financial reporting of them. That's the both of them. It's compliance and internal controls over those. And they're both clean reports also. So I'll tell you that. What Jennifer did pass out also was two different communication letters. The first one that is headed up to the Board of Trustees, that's just some required communications. I won't read through that. I'll just tell you, you know, in there, if you read it, it does say, you know, we didn't have any difficulties during the audit. We didn't have any disagreements with management during the audit. None of the misstatements that we detected as a result of the audit were material. and you know, along with some other items, but you can read through that. And then the second one is a management letter, and I'll tell you, there's normally through this process, there are several things that we discuss, you know, with Rick and Jennifer, none of which really brought itself, you know, to be, we didn't see it as significant enough to put in our management letter. But what we did do is give you a history of, you know, an item that has been in there, just to give you, you know, that vacation carrier. We've discussed this in the past, and I won't go through it, but it gives you, you know, the history of where that stands. Unless anybody had any questions on this, I'd be glad to go over that. So that kind of goes through real briefly everything that you've got there in front of you. I guess before we get into questions, I just would also like to thank Rick and Jennifer in their office. I mean, just in all the assistance that we get from them during the year. We appreciate the working relationship we have here, and I think my opinion is we have a very good one, and I think it works well. So thank you. Okay, that's
questions?
Everything I had, unless people have questions.
I do, Mr. Chair. Just a couple general questions. In your professional opinion, is the county well managed?
I'll tell you, you know, our main focus is, you know, our main focus here is to give you an opinion on your financial statement. But in that process, the knowledge we obtained during that process, we believe, you know, the county is well managed fiscally.
Thank you. One second question. Would you consider our fund balance, all our revenues, expenses, would you consider us to have an excessive amount of funds, considering the climate, the financial climate out there?
Yeah, you're talking about, I think, where we are in our general fund, where you're saying, you know, the unassigned amount is at 56.
Yeah,
you know, the county wants to have at least 33. Yeah, that exceeds the 33%, you know, 4 months worth of expenditures, but I don't believe that's an excessive amount, you know, the 56% versus the 33. The rest of, you know, the fund balance is, you know, is tied up through restrictions. I mean, they're the purpose for them.
Last question, as far as I'm concerned. We cannot, and correct me if I'm wrong, Steve, we cannot borrow money from restricted money that basically is set, I think, by state statute or grant agreements. Those amounts of money are not, in other words, we couldn't go in and just borrow money to
fund them. No, they're set by state statute, what they're supposed to be used for. I think you'd have problems if you, you could have potential problems if you started doing that.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Any other questions?
If I could, real fast, Jack. Sure. I'm going to add another piece for you before I can kind of show you what Joe and I have been trying to do and try to educate you as best we can. Anybody wants a copy of this, you can hand them around.
Give me one more.
Okay, and I'm just going to go over a few numbers, and if I have some questions, I might ask you to help me or maybe Joe to help me.
Sure.
But if you go back to page 21 and 22, if you look at two figures here, Bill, when I have you get back to 21 and 22. This is my kind of like my to show you what I think we're trying to do here.
You got called out.
Called out is once again we have about 127 million. What I would call those are the ones that we cannot touch. I mean, they're for certain functions, they're restricted funds.
Well, that's the 127 million is the total.
That's the total. Yeah. That's all of them. That's, you know, for example, that would include like a special sewer district. You know, 911, all those items, you know, that are kind of like special things, they have to be used. And in fact, there's a list in here, I believe I've seen it, a list of all the special funds.
That's right. It doesn't actually include the sewer service fund, if that's what you're referring to, but it does all those special revenue funds.
Okay.
The debt service, the capital projects funds, it includes all of those.
Okay, so really we have about $22 million that we have available for all the different other things with the county. So we've done two things in the past, and I just want, and he alluded to them, and I wanted to bring those up to you, because we try to manage the money as best we can. One is that we transferred money in the past over to the IMRF fund for the ECHO program. And if you go back to page, I'm just going to go on some details. I had an opportunity to look at this. On page 67, if you look at the, on page 67, fourth column, 2-1, we used to have a liability there of $6,648.39. Now we're down to $1,481.837. You know, that is a program that this county is basically out of it. You know, we have a few people that are still in the ECHO program, but nobody new could get into the ECHO program in the future. So that's kind of like a thing in the past. Sometime in the future, when everyone is out of ECHO and there's going to come up with a number, I think it's going to be up to this committee, but I would certainly support an effort to go ahead and have that thing paid for, be done with the ECHO liability. Is something, in my opinion, that probably should never have been offered. I voted no when it came up, what was offered. But the, you know, and I'm not blaming anybody for being in the program, of course, but I think when we get done with that, I think what we do is we pay that liability off and we'll be done with that completely. We went a long way when we transferred that $4 million. And when we transferred that $4 million, we made quite a bit of an interest because they were charging, what is it, like 7.5%? They charge an interest rate for, you know, paying this off over time. Cost like 7.5%. By paying it off, we were able to save a lot of money, and we got it down to $1.4 million. But sometime in the future, I think we need to pay for that and be done with it completely. Okay? And one of the problems that you have is nobody new is coming into that program to make those payments. So, you know, it's just sooner or later, the county is going to have to make that take that and just get that thing paid for. But I think that was a good move when we did that. Then you have the $4 million that went to capital projects. And that is on page 93. And if you go back to the second to the last column, it shows you that $4 million that we transferred in. Okay? That $4 million. So as, according to this, we have $9,823. And I think we have a little updated list to you for you today. But with this, I came out with is just listing all the capital projects that we have. And this number's, you know, I think we have some other revenues that have gone in here since then, like the $750,000 for the shelter care home property. We have $10,573 available. We have currently total current county funded projects of $7,503,000. You see that number, first column? And then you go down and you see the second group, the 5-year capital projects, you have $8,335,000 they have to come up with. We show, for example, we will probably be working on the jail, kind of like as a piecemeal thing because we cannot get the bonding, so we show like $5 million going into that. So the reason I'm showing you this is we have total projects of $15,838,000, county funds available of $10,573,000, so you have a deficit of $5,265,000. Sometime in the future, and the reason I'm mentioning this is if you get back to what we have in fund balances, on page 22, that money, any money that we do on capital projects has to come from that $22 million figure. So we want to continue to be fiscally conservative, and what we would do is transfer that over to, you know, some of it over to capital projects. You know, we're doing it on a timely basis, but we could do these projects without increasing anyone's taxes. So I just want to make sure you understand how we use that fund. So once we transfer it over here, we consider this restricted funds. You know, you have to use it for capital projects. And we have currently another $5 million that we don't have funded. And that's just putting $5 million to the jail. I think Joe and I, if we do the whole jail project, what are we looking at? $1.5 million a year that would have to be put in there over an extended period of time to do the whole project, if we do the whole project. And, of course, that's going to be the Buildings Committee, Finance Committee. But the reason I show this, I just want to let you know that, you know, the monies that we do have, we know where they're going. I mean, we'll share this with any member. Anybody has any questions about it, we will certainly try to answer them for you. I think our county, I think we're probably one of the few counties in the situation that we are today, and I give credit to this committee, both Democrat and Republicans. I think we have a good working relationship. I want to see that continue, and I think we really have to watch the bottom line. We have to make sure, you know, that we have to fund these projects in-house, and if anybody has any questions, I'll be glad to try to answer them, too. And I think you did a good job on the audit. I commend Rick for his job that he's been doing, and, of course, I commend the Finance Committee for the job they've been doing over the year.
Can I ask a quick question to Mr. Fasten and the outside auditor? The 33% and the 56% that you mentioned for reserves, is that what it's called?
General fund.
Okay, that's general fund reserves.
What is
that amount of 53%?
Well, it's the percentage is based on, if you go to page 24, and if you look at the total expenditures there, not including the capital outlay line, which is that last, you know, you look at the normal operating expenses, you know, for the year, you know there was $40,200,000 round number. So.
And is that restricted or unrestricted?
Well, those are the expenditures.
Expenditures. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So then what you look at is, okay, so, you know, 50% of that number would be $20 million.
Okay.
You know, 33% would be what? 15 to 17 million roughly. Okay. You know, in that category or whatever.
Okay.
And we have in our unassigned fund balance the $22 million. So it's a little over 50%. You know, where normally, you know, our goal is to have 33.
So just elaborate. Just Alan, just explain what that $23 million may be used for in the future. And if we transfer some money over to capital projects, that brings that number down to, you know, $18 million, which gets us at 5 months of operating, which is probably where we want to stay. The reason we like to stay at 5 months is we always have this fear of these economic downturns, these recessions, which seem to happen every decade. It's usually a 2 or 3 year recovery from those. So the fund balance, when those happen, drop. So we build it back up after the recession, and we're prepared for an emergency, basically.
And state payments are still slow coming from time to time.
And the reason I like to make those transfers, like we did the $4 million that came through this committee, is once we pass it over to the capital projects fund, it can't be used for anything but capital projects. And that's why I think you basically make it unrestricted. Now, that could be changed, I think, by a county board vote.
Yeah, if
you know, so if somebody wants to change that, they can change it. But, you know, in my eyes, that once you transfer it over there, it's transferred. So probably in the near future, we might transfer more money over to this fund, knowing that we have the jail project to do. And then if we do, what was that project, the whole $18
million? Yeah.
If we did that over time, we would have maybe do like $1.5 million. And I think there has been a misunderstanding. There's some board members talked to me, well, now maybe we can go out and borrow money. You can't borrow money. Once the bonding failed, you cannot borrow money. That's why we had the bonding. It was only a mechanism to do the jail over 3 years. It had nothing to do with increasing taxes. It was a method of doing the financing of the jail. But that did not pass, so we will have to do a piecemeal. And so over time, we have to put that in there.
In a better fashion so we can come to that determination.
Well,
Let me just, please. This is the dilemma that I've seen recently, and I'm going to be very sincere with you. Is we have committees, and each committee has both Democrat and Republicans on the committee. We try to work, and the Finance Committee members come here, and they're kind of like, you guys become the experts on the finances because you deal with it every day. You got people that deal with the Buildings Committee, and they become the expert on the Buildings Committee because they do it every day. You have all these different committees. What I've seen recently is that people aren't paying attention to what the committees are doing. They need to look a little bit more and expect that these people are going to have, you know, they're the experts on this budget, and they know where things are going. We'll go over the whole thing with you. Anybody has any questions, we'll try to answer them for you. But everything's done very openly and in a very transparent way. And, you know, we have to continue to work as a team, but I think there's been this emphasis that people know better that don't come to the meetings. They know better of what the finances are in the county than the people that do with it every day. And I think we have to start looking at what the committee does and start paying attention to what the committee does. And I'm not just talking about this committee, buildings committee, you know, all these different committees are meeting and are coming up with ideas, but they're at every meeting. A buildings committee member will know more about buildings than anybody that's not on that committee. And somehow we got to get back to the basics where you have to rely on the committees to do their work. And I think that's what we're missing a little bit.
One of the things I wanted to know during all that jail bond thing, I believe the term was 20 years for the bond, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
Are you trying to say that 20 years is the only term in years that you can do a bond for?
No. But let me tell you some of the fallacies.
That's what I was trying to find out.
But this is some of the fallacies that came on. You know, by the way, when we passed the last levy, it was in there. It's already in there. We increased the levy to include the jail bonds. It's already in there. Now the only difference is we're going to be doing it piecemeal than doing over a 3-year period. Let me finish.
That was never my point. My point was, could we have bonded the money for a shorter time period than 20 years?
That was
the whole question I had.
Yeah, and the finance committee will make that determination. this is what's amazing to me, and I don't want to get back in the jail bond issue, but I'd be glad to talk it all you want. You know, we're sitting at, we're going to be a county that's going to be totally debt-free in 2 years. When the jail bonds that are paid off right now are paid off, we have absolutely no debt. We're probably one of the few counties in the state of Illinois that has no debt. But I can't get from a AA rating to a AAA rating because we don't have any records of showing that we have no debt. The whole idea with a bond, and we can debate this another time because, you know, we'll do this, be glad to have you come into my office or debate all along. The whole idea with the bonds on a jail was not to increase taxes or anything else because we already had $1 million of budget. It was just going to pay for the bonds. It was only a financing mechanism to pay the jail over 3 years. Now we're going to be forced to pay the jail over numerous years. Now, everyone I've talked to in construction says it's going to cost us a lot more to do that jail piecemeal than it would have cost to do it by bonding.
But
I don't know how we explain this to the public. Once it got on the ballot, I knew it wasn't going to pass. Because, you know, this is why we have committees and we work with committees. You know, so now if we do that whole jail project, you know, and it's going to take time to do the jail project because we literally do not have the money to do it at this time. We cannot come up with $18 million. We cannot borrow from restricted funds to do the project.
So
you cannot do it.
I don't agree with the committee. Too bad. So sad.
No. You have your vote on the county board. You can still vote on the county board. You know, that's fine.
There's no discussion allowed.
There's discussion on the county board.
I tried to discuss it. You guys are sitting and you're dropping during this financial statement. You're dropping these certain numbers for political reasons to show.
That's enough of that.
We got two Republicans on this committee. This committee is made out of Democrats and Republicans. Okay, every committee has Democrat and Republicans on it. Every time you disagree, it's political. It's not political. This is the truth. You know, you can have a copy. Is this on the? This is put on our webpage.
It's been on the web.
It's been on the web. So it's been on there for 2 weeks. I went over it yesterday. And you know, this is just the numbers where we stand. And I have you guys on the Finance Committee seen this before?
No.
Okay. So this is kind of like explaining to you where all the money's going. That's what I do at these committees. You know, we're not hiding anything. When we transferred the $4 million to ECHO, it was a good position to do because we were paying 7.5% interest.
You're saying in this meeting in front of the press that now because we wouldn't go along with you before, it's going to cost us more money. In fact,
when this left the finance committee, the jail bond issue, it became a political beast. It had nothing to do with finance any longer.
It had
everything to do with some candidate.
You didn't
so
listen.
It wasn't about questions because
no
we had. I sat myself in 4 separate meetings where the same numbers were covered. Yeah. I sat right next to you.
Even
and I got it.
even be, if you look at the minutes of the board, even the board meeting, I kept telling people this would not increase your taxes. It was only a mechanism. It was only a mechanism to do the funding.
We wanted to do a shorter term. It wasn't discussed. I'm just asking the question.
But once again, you can come to.
We had
I'm done with revisiting.
We
had
raised taxes from this all a year ago. Could we have?
We had to raise taxes to pay it. Or do you want to raise taxes?
Some of those
tax?
Reserves. We could use some of those.
No,
reserves.
No, we couldn't. We just.
You know, but see, that's why the Finance Committee, I mean, this is a very, I understand this is a very complex issue.
I would
issue.
Like also to ask if I could get a copy of the financial statement, because I don't have any of that.
This is on the internet.
It's on the internet.
This is all for the public.
2 weeks ago.
Okay. Yeah, and it's been on there for a couple of weeks now.
We are where we are with the jail. It's history. It's no longer an issue. The hand we've been dealt is how do we take care of our issues that we have over the jail based on the money we have available. So the plan moving forward, and this plan shows about a $5 million expenditure over the next 3 years, and then maybe 3 or 5 years later we'll have to pool some more money to fix some more stuff. That's where we're at on it. So
yeah, it is what it is. Let's
Chairman,
move on,
just,
Chairman.
Can I just say, I'm going to ask a question in summation.
Okay.
In summation, Steve, in your professional opinion, is this county in solid to good shape fiscally?
Yeah. Yeah, I believe so.
Okay.
Anybody else? Let's move on here.
Arguments for something.
We've got business to conduct. Joe?
Yes, sir.
I think you're up.
Well, it's up to approve this. Doc, if you'd like to accept the report,
you
can make a motion to do that.
I'd like to make a motion that we accept the audit report as presented.
Second.
I'm sorry. There's a motion to accept,
to accept the audit report.
Sorry, I overlooked that. We've got a second.
A second.
Any questions? Nothing?
Kelly?
Aye.
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 Thank you. Sorry about that.
Mm-hmm. Now under purchases, we have just a few for you today. I believe we had them all last month. First one is the annual maintenance renewal for USL Financials with the auditor's office. This is your accounting software, correct?
Yeah. Any questions for Rick on that?
And then in the IT department, we have three for your consideration. The first one is the maintenance renewal for the Mobility XE Premium through NetMotion Wireless. We have a WriteFax business server. Is this hardware or maintenance?
It's a new system for desktop fax.
There you go. A new system. And then we have a PCI compliance review with Dell. What we're doing here is we're hiring a consultant to come in and review all of our security systems we have with IT systems in the county. They'll review a comprehensive system from the department all the way down to the IT. They'll make recommendations. They'll even do a mock audit. And then they'll set up a program for us for an annual review of these systems so that every year we can go through a testing process. It's a little more detailed, but that's kind of a nutshell summary of that.
Any questions?
And then lastly, with the special service area number one, we have two replacement pumps at lift station 28.
Any questions?
The Dell contract, was that put out for bids, or is that?
It was, I got bids from seven different companies.
Was put out for bids.
Any other questions? Get a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any further discussion? Kelly?
Aye.
Doc?
Aye.
Bill?
Aye.
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 Okay.
And then under resolutions, we have one for the Sheriff's Department. It's the annual maintenance renewal for Motorola Starcom 21 network. This is our radio network that we're tied in with the state and all the communication towers on. The Sheriff sat through the long audit presentation
to get to
answer any questions.
I didn't notice that. We learned several thousand dollars.
You learned something?
Just
a little bit.
Anything else, Joe?
That's all.
Get a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Second by Bill. No further discussion. Kelly?
Aye.
Doc?
Aye.
Bill?
Aye.
Jeremy?
Aye.
And Dave.
It doesn't help.
You mean Jamie?
What did I say, Jamie?
Jeremy.
Yeah. That's one thing age buys you. Moving on.
Rick, okay, Mr. Chairman, for your review, we have the second quarter budget variance report. Move on from there.
Okay.
We have the motel tax reconciliation report for March, April, May of 2014. The total amount collected was $1,297.86. There was a 5% administrative fee with net held of $64.89. Total amount distributed was $1,232.97. This was distributed evenly between the Greater Alton Twin Rivers Convention and Visitors Bureau and the Southwest Illinois Tourism and Convention Bureau. And that amount distributed evenly was $616.48 to each entity. I move for your approval.
Your motion?
Second.
Any questions of Rick on these issues? Kelly?
Aye.
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 We have one refund today, Mr. Chairman, in the amount of $57 from the Health Department. This is payable to an individual, and it is a refund that is due for an overpayment on athletic fees. I move for your approval on the refund.
So moved.
Second.
Any questions? Not?
Aye.
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 All right.
Moving forward, we have two immediate emergency appropriations. The first one is to the Children's Advocacy Centers of Illinois. They've authorized federal funds from the Office of Juvenile Justice and Delinquency Prevention in the amount of $9,000 going to the Child Advocacy Center. This is a no-match grant. Bring in both of them at
yes,
one time,
please.
Mr. Chairman. Second one is the county's received a grant in the amount of $6,050. And the Illinois Violence Prevention Authority arrest grant, the purpose of this is increasing awareness of family and interpersonal violence. The amount that was authorized was $23,244 to the county. And this, again, Mr. Chairman, is a no-match grant. I move for your approval on both of them.
Your motion?
So moved.
Second. Larry, any further discussion? Hearing none?
Aye.
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 Very good.
And finally, we have the summary report of claims and transfers for June of 2014, and I move for your approval on that. I'm sorry.
Your motion?
So moved.
You have a second?
Second.
Bill.
Kelly? Aye.
Aye.
Yeah. Aye.
All right.
That's all I have to say.
That's all you have. Okay. State safety and risk.
Okay. I have a packet that I have in front of each of you. We have our quarterly reports to present this month. The first one is our report of claims over above $5,000 paid by risk management. The two workers' comp payments were for resolutions that were previously approved by the Finance Committee and the County Board, and then were paid here in May. So those were approved at that time. And then the end of the liability property are some repairs and legal services bills that exceeded the $5,000 amount. The next item for your consideration is the our open liability claims report. We have presently 31 pending professional liability claims. We closed one in the last quarter. Under general liability, we have 5 pending claims with 2 closed. And under auto, we have 7 pending claims with 6 closed in the last quarter. Our total open reserves for claims is $1,101,865.28. Any questions?
You got any questions on safety and risk?
So the legal services over here of $14,160, that's that's for Mr. Well, that's for these attorneys here, I guess.
It was actually on one of our claims that was being prepared for trial.
Oh, okay. So, do the rest of these pending suits, when do they get paid? Do they get paid
monthly
or?
Monthly or every other month.
So, is that money that you're paying for the attorneys, where is it showing?
It will show on my budget expenditure under the tort and liability fund, insured tort expenditures.
So we just don't see that exactly each month, like this one, is it?
Well, that's the quarterly report for anything over $5,000
okay.
that's been paid out.
All right, I was just trying to...
So sometimes there might be under $5,000 that we do pay those, and those are submitted and reviewed by the auditor's office and payments issued.
I was just trying to get an easy grip on how much we're paying in legal fees.
We can get you here today.
Just, you know, all these suits that we got going, a lot of money.
Unfortunately, we had five new. We were down to 26 open professional liability claims last quarter when I presented this, and we actually I received five new inmate lawsuits in the last 2 weeks. So a little restless over there right now, but I think most. I anticipate all of those will be dismissed. It's just a matter of having to go through the legal process to help with the federal court. All of those were filed in federal court. The majority of their claims that they brought have been already dismissed by the judge. But then they've allowed other items to still proceed through the regular legal process. Our hope is that once we file motions to dismiss on most of those, when we present evidence. To show that there's no viable claim, that those will be dismissed rather quickly.
And most of those don't have attorneys themselves. They're just doing this on
their own. Yes, I would say on all of those that I did receive here recently, they are not represented. They filed those pro se themselves.
We have to have attorneys. That's where our cost is.
At least we don't have Mr. Hill anymore, who is a former inmate who filed 18 of them. So.
Now he's filing against the state of Illinois correctional system.
He's an IDOC now, so. The final item have your for your consideration. There's our annual resolution authorizing the purchase of our excess liability, property, and earthquake insurance coverage. As you know, we are self-insured for the liability program up to $1 million. And then we have been buying excess coverage through State's Risk Retention Group. And I provided you guys with a couple spreadsheets to kind of an overview of what our last year's quote was, what our current program is, and those. So if you look at the top of the page there, on this document here, you'll note that the State's Risk Retention Group, their premium quote this year is $207,529. I will tell you that our broker did reach out to some other carriers. We did have a quote come in from another carrier that was quite substantially less than this from States. And actually, States' quote, original quote, was much more than this. Unfortunately, that other carrier, when I started asking more detailed questions about and looking at their policy, there was exclusions that were not to our benefit on that policy. There was questions about their finances that I was not getting answers about. When I asked for references, I wasn't provided anything. And in my own research with other risk managers that I know and communicate with, did not produce any viable information. I felt that they actually seriously considered it. So what I did do is I asked our broker to take that quote and use it to our advantage with State's Risk Retention Group and ask if there was any way that they might be able to revise their quote. Fortunately, they came down almost $60,000.
Good work.
Very good.
On the Hartford policy, the only thing that really changed there is they have increased their deductibles on three areas. That's for the museum and fine arts. Those were originally all $1,000. So anything that's in the $2,500 in that first column were originally $1,000. That's just kind of what they're doing. They're in the process of increasing those deductibles. The climate with claims right now, with all the catastrophic events, they're just paying a lot more out, so they're looking for ways to pass that, on to their you know, clients. Fortunately for us, we had been not had really that many claims that we had filed in the past or any, but we did have, unfortunately, some tower claims that we had incurred here in the last year and a half, where we did make claims and we did pay the deductible and then they paid the rest of it. And those are from lightning strikes that we had due to some of the, you know, bad weather that we had in the last year and a half. The sprinkler line breaks at the detention home and here at the administration building, we did submit a claim on those. They did have an appraiser come out and look at both buildings, and they came in just under $50,000 in terms of what it would have cost if we would have hired outside people to come in and redo all the repairs, the restoration work, etc. We ended up bringing all that. We just did all the work in-house with the exception of the restoration and the repairs to the fire panel, alarm panel at the detention home. So we probably saved, by doing that ourselves, not paying that $50,000 deductible, we saved probably about $20,000, I estimate. So by just doing that, and a lot of the work with the drywalling, all of that was done by, you know, finishing off all those things was done by Kurt's So their total premium is $123,684. And then on that includes the $5 million in excess earthquake. And then we to get up to $50 million in additional earthquake coverage, we have to go out to two other carriers. Last year we had, in the prior year, 2 years ago, we actually had $55 million in coverage. They dropped that to $50 million last year. So the total premium quote for this year is $87,639. And actually, that second page that you received kind of breaks down the quotes over several years. And so our total package is $418,852. And that's for a one-year period commencing July 22nd of 2014.
Where's Ken Scheibel when you need him?
I know. I just feel that going for
him. He was in my office yesterday, so. It's quite an appropriate time.
Second.
No second to Larry. Any questions? If not, no.
Aye.
Okay. Any new business? No new business.
Motion to adjourn.
Second. All those in favor?
Yeah. Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.